You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent this morning, and I'm betting we all have a horror story or two about buying something based on an online review, only to be left terribly disappointed and wondering what in the world those online reviewers were thinking. Were they even real? The Federal Trade Commission wants to make sure they are by banning fake reviews, finding those responsible, and making them pay for trying to fool us. Perhaps you have your own online review horror story to share or have a question about how the agency plans to put an end to the proliferation of fake reviews. You can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org anytime. Sam Levine is director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection. And Sam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with how big of a problem this is, and do we even know how many fake reviews we can find online?
You know, it's an excellent question, and the fact is fake reviews are a scourge. We don't know the exact numbers because so many of these fake reviews are not detected, but based on our investigations over the last many years and our conversations with businesses across the economy, we believe there are millions of fake reviews out there, and that's exactly why we proposed a rule to try to crack down on them.
Yeah, our own state consumer protection agency compiles an annual list of the top 10 consumer complaints, and the list has yet to mention online fake reviews, hasn't even made the top 10. Is it that consumers are unaware that the reviews are fake online? What about from the consumer perspective, Sam?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. These fake reviews have become really sophisticated. And one thing I'll note is that the emergence of generative AI, generative artificial intelligence, is making it easier and easier to write very sophisticated fake reviews that read like they're from an actual person. So what we find is that consumers might complain about a product that's not good or a service that's not what they expected, and they might have purchased that product or service based on a fake review, but they might not actually know that that review was fake, yet they were still harmed by the practice.
So if we don't know the review is fake, and you're not sure, the Federal Trade Commission's not sure how many fake reviews are actually out there online, how would we go about identifying them if we wanted to start cracking down on them?
Well, that's a great question, too. We do have at the FTC investigators. We have investigative tools. We hear from whistleblowers who tell us that the companies they're working for are suppressing negative reviews or drafting positive reviews. So we are often, as a government agency, in a better position to detect these reviews. That said, you're absolutely right. Not every review is going to be caught. And that's why one of the things we're doing with our rule proposal is really upping the ante for how much companies or individuals need to pay if they're involved in this practice. And what we're hoping that we'll do if the rule is finalized is send a strong message of deterrence so that people know that if they get caught, they're going to pay a heavy price.
So the Federal Trade Commission is proposing a new rule to stop companies from using deceptive or unfair online review practices. So, Sam, what does the agency consider to be deceptive or unfair in this rule proposal?
So we list a whole host of practices, and it kind of illustrates the creativity of many people involved in this industry. Some companies will just write fake reviews. Others will pay, you know, their family or they'll pay their customers to write positive reviews, even if the customers haven't used the product. Some companies will actually buy positive reviews. There are marketplaces for these reviews that companies can buy. Some companies will delete their negative reviews while highlighting their positive reviews. These practices are distinct, but all of them distort the marketplace by making it harder for consumers to ascertain whether a product or service is worth buying. And all of these practices are deceptive and are therefore covered by our proposed rule.
But what if a business asks its customers to leave them a review? Where do we draw the line?
That is not necessarily illegal. Okay. Where we draw the line is because especially for startup businesses who want to compete with incumbents, they might want to encourage consumers to write reviews so that they can compete more fairly. That said, if a company, you know, sends you a mailer or sends you an email and it says we'll give you $25 for posting a positive review, or, you know, we'll give you $25 for posting a negative review at one of our competitors, that's illegal and that would be covered by the rule.
We're talking about the Federal Trade Commission's new proposal to ban fake online reviews and fine people who are involved. Our guest is Sam Levine, director of the Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection, and you can join our conversation with your questions or your experiences at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sam, how are businesses responding to the proposal from the Commission?
Well, we're taking comments until September 29th, and I expect we're going to hear from a lot of businesses. I will tell you, we hear from a lot of companies that complain about fake reviews, because companies out there that are honest and that are offering a good product or a good service end up needing to compete with companies that cheat, companies that buy fake reviews or generate fake reviews, often to make their products or services look better than they actually are. So we really see this rule proposal as good not only for consumers, but also businesses that are honest, businesses that are playing by the rules and delivering value for their customers.
I would love to be able to trust what I find online, but increasingly I've learned that that might be difficult to do. So how can we go about restoring trust online, and will this take us, as you mentioned, you're not going to be able to find every fake online review, but you will be able to identify some. How can we restore trust here?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a real challenge, and I think a number of steps need to be taken. One, you know, we really encourage the major platforms to do more. They're often in the best position to identify these reviews. We really want them to do more to take down reviews on their own. That ultimately creates a better experience both for shoppers and for the businesses on the platform. But we also think our rule is going to make a big difference. Again, you're right. Not every fake review is going to be detected. But when companies realize and when individuals realize that if they engage in deceptive review practices, they could get sued in federal court and have to pay up to $50,000 per violation. And by the way, a violation every time someone sees the fake review, that can constitute a violation. So these numbers can add up really quickly. We hope that sends a strong message that it's just not worth it, that the price is too high to pay if they engage in this practice. So a big part of our strategic approach to this problem is deterrence.
Sam, that's $50,000 fine per eyes viewed, not per fake review?
That's correct. Now, obviously, it's going to depend on the fact of each case, but our statutory authority allows us to seek in federal court money for every time a consumer actually sees a fake review. So these numbers can add up very, very quickly. Now, that's a maximum fine, so it'll depend on the egregiousness of the practice, but these numbers can add up very, very quickly.
Well, I have a case here for last year. The Fashion Nova settled to pay the Federal Trade Commission over $4 million over allegations that it blocked negative reviews on its website. So it can add up very fast. What can you tell us about that case that would go towards your proposed new rule change?
Yeah, exactly. So what we allege that Fashion Nova did, and as you mentioned, Fashion Nova is a fashion retailer, is what we call review suppression. They posted their higher starred reviews and didn't post their negative reviews. And it doesn't take a mathematician to know that if you're posting a lot of five-star reviews and you're deleting a lot of one-star reviews, the aggregate review score for your company is going to be artificially inflated, and that harms consumers. So you're right, we took action against Fashion Nova. They paid out a significant judgment, and we're actually using that money we're returning money to consumers who might have been deceived by those practices. So that's a good illustration of how we've been able to use our existing authority to crack down on these practices. But the reality is that if this rule is finalized, and if other companies engage in similar practices, they could actually face much higher fines than what Fashion Nova paid.
Sam Levine is our guest. He is the director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection with a new proposed rule to crack down on fake online reviews. And you can call in with a question or comment and join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're talking with the director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection, Sam Levine. And we're looking at the agency's proposal to ban fake reviews and fine those responsible. What do you want to know about how the Federal Trade Commission plans to go about putting a stop to all these fake reviews? You can call in with your question or tell us a story. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Sam, you mentioned before that people can comment before September 29th on this proposal from the commission to ban fake reviews. How can people submit their feedback?
Yeah, so absolutely. What they can do is they can go to regulations.gov.gov, find the Federal Trade Commission's docket for the fake review rule, and file a comment. And, you know, we really encourage people to do this. I think there's maybe a perception or a myth that you have to be a lawyer or a lobbyist and kind of draft a very formal legal brief for us to pay attention. That's absolutely not true. We want to hear from ordinary people, members of the public who've been affected by these practices, have a view on how we should address them. You know, we get comments that are three sentences. They'll just say, yeah, we really like this rule. No, we don't. We will read every rule. They don't need to be written like a brief. And we really encourage public participation in our rulemaking. We don't want to hear only from kind of DC lobbyists. We want to hear from the public who's going to be most affected by this proposal.
And how do those comments go into the actions the Federal Trade Commission may or may not take going forward?
They're the heart of our decision-making process. Both by law and because it just makes sense, whether we finalize this rule is going to depend on the record we develop. And the record we develop is going to be based on the comments we get from the public. Our mission is to serve the public interest, so we're only going to move forward with this if it makes sense. And to ascertain that, it's really critical we hear from the public. So I certainly encourage your listeners, if they have a view on this, file a comment. It's not very difficult. We will read it, and it's a way you can help shape policy nationwide.
And that website, again, is regulations.gov?
That's it.
What would the timeline look like, Sam, from the Federal Trade Commission after the comment period ends September 29th? When could we find a decision about the commission's attempt to crack down on fake online reviews?
So because we read all of the comments, it really depends on the volume of comments we receive. Based on past experience, it's going to take at least a few months to review the comments and to comply with some of the other requirements under our rulemaking authority. But what I will say is that we see this as a really urgent problem. So we're going to move quickly in ascertaining whether this proposal makes sense because we know that the American public is frustrated with this problem and we want to use all of our tools to try to help out.
And how would this change our online experience, would you say, if these rules were put into place and it was and the rules were able to be enforced and fines were able to be levied? What would that mean for me, the consumer, as you see it?
Our hope is that this proposal will make for a more honest online marketplace. I think if you go back 10, 15 years ago or really longer for some people, at the dawn when people started using, buying stuff online, I think one of the things consumers like me really appreciated is that you could actually read reviews of the products and services you were buying. That kind of was an advantage over brick-and-mortar stores. You could see what other buyers of a product had to say about the product. But I think what we've seen in recent years is that the scourge of fake reviews has become so bad that people just don't place the same trust in reviews that they used to. And that's bad for everyone. People end up paying more for worse products. They end up returning those products. Companies that actually have good products out in the marketplace struggle to compete because it's hard to distinguish themselves. So what we would like to do through this rule, through this proposed rule, is just create a more honest marketplace so that consumers have more confidence when they're shopping online and businesses that are delivering value for the public can distinguish themselves and thrive in the marketplace.
So what would be some arguments against this rule proposal from the Federal Trade Commission to ban online fake reviews?
Well, I think we're going to get a lot of comments. And I'm sure there'll be some who oppose the rule. some who support the proposal, some who want us to modify it. You know, I don't want to speculate as to every argument. But, you know, from my perspective, and obviously we're going to take the comments very seriously before we finalize anything, but from my perspective, I really think that this proposal is both pro-business and pro-consumer for all the reasons I said. So we're certainly going to, you know, we want to hear from the public about things we might have missed or situations we might not have anticipated. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't have proposed this if we didn't think this would benefit everyone in the marketplace who plays by the rules.
That's Sam Levine, director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection, and you can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Sam, last year, we started with our own state's consumer protection top 10 list of their concerns, and last year, telemarketing was the second highest consumer complaint here in Wisconsin, that according to our consumer protection agency. And starting October 1st, telemarketer fees will pay more. Telemarketer companies will pay more money to download a phone number from the Do Not Call registry. Why the hike in the fees?
So the hike in the fees is based on inflation. It's statutory, and when you know, the prices of other goods and services go up, the fees go up as well.
And Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and other state attorneys general are seeking to reduce illegal robocalls. And in July, Josh Call spoke on the morning show about illegal telemarketing, putting more people at risk for scams. Here he is.
Because the volume of these robocalls is so high, if even a small percentage of those end up being successful in causing a scam to move forward, that's a lot of people's lives that are impacted who are victimized through this process.
Sam, do we know how telemarketers are accessing phone numbers illegally?
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent question, and General Call is absolutely right. We announced over the summer the largest telemarketing crackdown in U.S. history. We worked with more than 100 enforcers, state attorneys general across the country, U.S. attorneys, Department of Justice, Federal Communications Commission, and we announced more than 180 actions against illegal telemarketing. And one of the things we highlighted is that one key way that telemarketers are getting around or trying to get around the Do Not Call protections and trying to blast people with robocalls is a practice called consent forms. This is an interesting concept. What companies are doing, and by the way, these are major companies that are engaging in these practices. One of the companies we sued was publicly traded. They have websites online that make it look like they're job application websites. So they'll post ads that say you want a job as a delivery driver, making $18 an hour. Fill out your information here. So a lot of consumers who are looking for work fill out this information, understandably. But what these companies don't tell you is that they're not actually connecting you with the job. They are harvesting your information and selling it to telemarketers who then blast you with calls, often fraudulent calls. So, you know, I think there's a perception that telemarketing is just, you know, people in a boiler room making calls. It's actually a much more sophisticated ecosystem of both telemarketers and companies that enable them. And the crackdown that we announced this summer is really intended to go after every part of that ecosystem to make sure that we can reduce the scourge of unwanted calls.
There is a three-part documentary on the streaming service Max called Telemarketers, documenting a telemarketing company for more than a decade ago now. And it, while some of it's on the level, other parts of it certainly seem to be something that a consumer protection would be interested in enforcing. And how else is the Federal Trade Commission seeking to reduce illegal telemarketing? Marketing, Sam.
Well, you're absolutely right about that documentary, and actually, the documentary is about a case that the FTC brought. More than my predecessor David Vladek was interviewed on it. So we're certainly proud of the work we've done, but I know that Americans feel this problem is not going away. Here's the good news: we are, as both at the Federal Trade Commission and state attorneys general. We are really broadening our approach to this problem. We're not only, as I said, challenging the telemarketers themselves, we're challenging big companies. You know, one of the companies we sued, one of these consent farms, sold 660 million leads meaning the personal information of 660 million consumers.
Wow.
To telemarketers. We are really trying to move upstream to stop these actors to really crack down on this problem. We've also pursued what are called VoIP providers. These are the companies that sit between overseas telemarketers and American consumers. So
and
if you're in another country, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it there, but there is more to talk about. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been a pleasure, and I certainly urge your listeners to weigh in on our rulemaking with comments. We welcome the public's input.
Sam Levine, Director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.